So, who doesn't like talking about lepers? But let us start from the beginning of where my mind was as I began thinking about this passage and where we have been for the last couple of months. So over time, as Christians, we have come to understand God in three different ways. First, as God, the creator in nature. Second, as the Son in the story of life, death, and the resurrection of Jesus. And finally, as Spirit, God as living and active in the world today. It signifies the fact that the Christian faith is not just about events that happened in the past. Rather, it concerns the present and also what is to come. The Spirit is God's animating presence, not only in our lives, but also in the church. And without that Spirit, I do see that the church can become dead. And without the Spirit, all that is creative and wonderful in life itself can cease to exist. So with hearing that about the Spirit, we find ourselves, as I was letting the youth know, we are in the time of ordinary time. However, I think our experience of God working in and through not only Jesus, but the disciples to follow is anything but ordinary. If we look up the word ordinary, it means with no special or distinctive features. It's normal and it's standard. And I understand the language of ordinary time to mean that time that falls outside of major seasons of the church, like Advent, Christmas, Lent, Easter. During ordinary time, if you take a look, the church returns to a routine meeting on Sundays without having a holiday or a theme to focus on. We're not focusing on Advent, we're not focusing on Christmas, we're not focusing on Lent. Our prayers and our selections of readings have us come alongside Jesus in his public ministry. And the lectionary selections are those of healings and signs and essential teachings from the life of Jesus so that we can be reminded, reaffirmed, consoled, and challenged in how we live our Christian way of life. So through ordinary time, the community of disciples are once again told to forgive, accept others generously, be healed, and serve as instruments of healing, seeking peace, living humbly, praying, and trusting in God's care. So with this understanding and this awareness, we can decide very quickly that ordinary time is anything but ordinary. And we can see that the purpose and the benefits of this season are very extraordinary, indispensable, and very fundamental to who we are in following Christ. We are in a period of ordinary time that is also a continuation of Pentecost. If we recall back in June, we had Pentecost, the day of when the Holy Spirit descended onto the people, and continued the revelation that we find in Scripture with the help of the Holy Spirit. So taking that definition and understanding of what ordinary time is, what the purpose of it is, it makes sense that this time after Pentecost continues a theme of Spirit working in and through us to understand the teachings and the ways in which we minister, listen, heal, seek peace, and trust in God. So, let's do a quick review of our last 3 months together. And we should see that we have been learning valuable lessons in our role in our Christian lives, and hopefully we have been challenged by some of what we have heard. Hopefully we've been humbled by some of the things that we've heard. Hopefully we've struggled in what we have heard. And most importantly, we've been encouraged by what we have heard. We definitely have witnessed the encouragement as based on the relationship of Paul and Timothy, as Paul has been giving Timothy encouragement and understanding of what this life is about. And we also have heard the values of work and attention to others, like stories of Mary and Martha, remembering to do the one thing. So here we are again today, accompanying Jesus along in his public teachings and his healings told by Luke. And with the focus of the season of Pentecost, it takes the lessons that we carry forward from Luke's concern. It expresses a certain theology that we can take into this world. It's a vantage point of what Christ is doing in public and how we can glean from that work. I'm seeing evidence of the lessons that Luke teaches us are ones of not just healing, but of change and acceptance into this world. And it's happening not by internally, but it's happening by seeing some external events that are happening around them. The story of Jesus' healing of the 10 lepers is a great healing act moment. But in light of the framework of which I have just set for us in this season, I see it as an illustration of how we are the light of the people around us. Typically, I hear this focus on this passage looking at where it occurred, that it was an unnamed place, an unimportant place. It was a village between two different places. This can lead into understanding of we're not there, but we're not here. We're kind of in the middle. We're somewhere in between. And that even though we are in the in-between, miracles do happen. Changes do happen. It doesn't have to wait until we get there. Another is that there is a direct attention to the one that gives thanks, letting us know that this was a Samaritan that gave gratitude to Christ. The gratitude comes from an outside of those that would think would give gratitude. It is assumed, it is written, that there was the one Samaritan, the rest were Jewish, and that it would make sense that the others would give thanks, and this, who's the Gentile, would not. But in reverse, it was the one that was not that gave thanks. I look at this passage and I think about where we consider ourselves and how many times we may find our places in one of those two categories. Some of the moments we in our lives, we are that Samaritan. We give thanks. We find it important. Other times we may see ourselves as the other nine who ran off. But I don't look at it as being bad. I don't look at it as they were being terrible. I see it more as that they were very excited about what occurred. And at that moment, it was so exciting that they wanted to go and share with others, probably people they haven't seen in quite a long time. Thinking about that gratitude and taking that time of being able to say thank you, and recognizing the places that we do it, sometimes we don't feel, or maybe I don't feel, that I have done exactly what I could have done to say thank you. And as we have heard from the past, there are many reasons of why we feel that we are incapable of saying thank you. Sometimes it is, oh, but I have so many other things that I need to get done. I know, or at least I hope they know that I am thankful, but I just got to keep on going, or else it's not going to get done. I find ourselves doing that even in a place of worship. And I've been thinking a lot about where we are. And this passage had so many different pieces of us thinking of being in the in-between, of being able to say thank you, to be able to see the gratitude, to being able to see the things that we could be grateful for. That this became a very difficult passage for me to glean from and to talk about. There's so much of this that I find in this place. And honestly, although that we are in a place of growth, I think that we are overlooking very much the different places of which we can give gratitude for the things that we do really well. And I think part of understanding what it is that we do really well, we are able to understand and be able to confront those places that are extremely difficult and hard to confront. Sometimes we may know what they are, sometimes we may not know what they are. But my hope has come by reading this and thinking about ordinary time, that it is a continuation for us to learn. That this isn't a time of having to be focused on preparing for Advent or preparing for Christmas, but this is a time to prepare ourselves for understanding who we are and how we function. I'm finding that ordinary time has become much more incredible than I once thought of it as being. For the longest time, ordinary time is the time when we can just relax for a little bit. I don't have to prepare anything. I don't have to wait and get Advent or Lent or Easter or Christmas together. It's a time of just sliding by. But ordinary time is a time of reflection, a time of challenging, a time of understanding deeply who we are and how we are to function in this world. Between now and December 1st, we have the rest of ordinary time. Between now and December 1st, probably a little bit before because we have Thanksgiving, we have some time to devote to who we are and whose we are. I want us to spend that time not frantically figuring out what is to come next, but to sit in the midst of what we have and to be thankful and to be gracious for it. My hope is that we can sit each Sunday and give thanks and be comforted by our faith. That as we gather as people that are in this space, that we can challenge ourselves to give more gratitude and thought to one another and affirm each other for who we are. I want us to be able to create a change. Whatever change it may be that you see is needed. The change isn't something that has to be a whole big change, like a 180, but change of where we are beginning to say, I'm aware that there is much more going on that I'm letting myself know, both the good and the bad. I want the change to be able to have those conversations and to be able to say at the end of those conversations, it is good. And you are good, and we are good together. Let us give thanks. Amen.